Good morning, good morning, and welcome to Realm of the Historics. This is, of course, a show in which we investigate geopolitical drama. Yes, we have suspended another general history. We now are following international geopolitics because they get into your pocket. So, you know, when we talk about the history of the fall of and the rise of Rome, that one is far from your pocket. We'll talk about it. Of course, we can talk about it later on. But we are now following the events that shape our global status quo. And today, we are not going to look at what happened. We are going to look at what did not happen. Yes. We are going to look at what did not happen. The Karatagoma that took place last week and the other week. Of course, 12 days of Karatagoma. 12 days of Karatagoma. There was a very serious Karatagoma between Iran and Israel. You know what happened, so I'm not going to talk about what happened. We are now going to talk about what did not happen. And some of you, if you look at the social media, I'm sure my post is there. If you look at our social media, you see the topic. So without wasting time, we just want, let me break English. English deserves to be broken today. So without wasting time, we just want to get deeper into what is it that did not happen. So, okay, put the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, International Atomic Energy Agency, of course, led by Mr. Rafael Grossi. And then put the United Nations also there. Put America, put Israel, put Iran, put China, put Russia there also. And put the world everywhere. Put the world there. Put yourself there. And then we'll talk. So, have you heard about the GBU-57? That is a very huge bomb. I think it is 30 tons. So 6 of them were dropped. So that was around 180 tons. Very heavy bombs. 6 of them, they are 30,000 tons. If I'm correct with this number, that's what they are saying. I don't know what kind of a plane that can lift up that thing. So it was carried by the B-2 U.S. bombers. So, they bombed Isfahan, they bomb Natanz, and then they bomb Fordo. Uh, And then after that, the United States president said, we have bombed, we have obliterated everything. It's a spectacular, you know, mission. And of course, Israel also coming up and say the threat is gone. We are now no longer under threat. Okay. And then we started to hear from the International Atomic Agency, Atomic Energy Agency, saying there is no radiation. You know, but there is no radiation. There was supposed to be radiation right now. You know, there was supposed to be radiation, I think they measure it by mega silvite, if I'm not mistaken. They measure that radiation with. They investigated, they find out that the radiation is just normal. No leaking, nothing. Then the American Intelligence Agency started to also talk about the story that no, you guys did not bomb anything. You did not destroy anything. And of course, Trump is angry with the Democrats. He's accusing Democrats of having leaked that type of information. Because intelligence is shared with members of Congress. According to some U.S. laws, and that is what was leaked. So, and it turns out that they did not bomb anything. And some stories started to come up that the Iranians must have evacuated all their equipment and all their nuclear fuels and everything to some unknown location. Now, the United Nations also failed to, according to Russia, of course, the United Nations failed to prevent the bombing, the Israeli bombing of Iran. But what can the United Nations do? The United Nations have lost a lot of officials and workers in Gaza. And the United Nations were helpless, in fact. And they started calling for Israel to stop the bombing campaign. But Israel will not stop. In fact, the UN officials, the UN workers were caught in the crossfire. They were also killed by Israeli bombs because Israel doesn't care about the United Nations. At least not they don't care about the United Nations. At least not. So, now, here's a dramatic situation, and that's where I want to focus my point today. The Iranian parliament decided we are no longer going to deal with the IEA, the IAEA. We are no longer going to deal with them. They passed a law that they passed a law against working with a, you know, IAEA. And they are about to pass a law, according to some, you know, sources and rumors, of course, they are not yet confirmed, that the Iranians are thinking about passing a law that will have them, you know, get out of the NPT, you know, the non-proliferation, treaty. Iran signed the non-proliferation treaty in 1970. And we are going to get into this, into some implication, but first of all, but before that, let's go for a short musical break. All right, we continue. So Iran signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty in 1970. And the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty was created by major powers to limit the issue of nuclear weapons. And the people that might have signed the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Proliferation Treaty must be the powers that would have had nuclear weapons by 1967. And we know that by 1967, there were only maybe four countries that had nuclear weapons by that time. I think it was Russia, United States, France, and Britain and France. I don't think China had nuclear weapons by that time. So, Iran signs this nuclear non-proliferation treaty. What it does is that you are bound. It binds you from creating nuclear weapons or developing materials that pertains to military, you know, advancement with nuclear, you know, components. You have nuclear centrifuges that are only meant for civilian purposes. So you don't enrich centrifuges to a certain percentage. For example, if you are over 60%, you know, that becomes worrisome. Because you need to go up to 100% for you to develop a nuclear or an atomic weapon. And Iran nuclear centrifuges enrichment threshold is said to have surpassed the 60% mark. And that is what worries the world, at least Israel and the United States. So the implications of this, though, is that you limit yourself, but Iran is in two things. Number one, the Iranian fatwa law. I stand to be, you know, pardoned here because I might not pronounce this properly. It's not intentional. The fatwa law prevents Iran from having nuclear weapons. This is a religious law. Because remember, Iran is an Islamic republic. So they are also governed by theocratic laws. So, Iran is in a predicament. One, the NPT. Two, the Islamic law that prevents Iran from having nuclear weapons. And Iran is surrounded by countries that have nuclear weapons. For example, Russia, China, India, Pakistan. Those are four countries. The fifth country is a little bit further, which is Israel. And Israel also has nuclear weapons. Nobody really knows how much nuclear warhead Israel has. Some are estimating that it is between 60 and 100 nuclear warheads. Nobody knows. in 2006, North Korea tested their first nuclear bomb. And North Korea is a nuclear power. It's a nuclear armed country. Nobody knows how much they have. Some estimate that they have up to 20 nuclear warheads. Between 20 and 100 nuclear warheads. Well, China has 600. Nobody really knows. China has 600. India and Pakistan might have 300 each, and Britain has 400, and as well as France. It is Russia and the United States that have 90% of the world's nuclear stockpile. So these two countries have the most, you know, nuclear warheads. So, who is preventing who from having what? And of course, today we are talking about what did not happen. We are still coming, so I'm just building a background for you to understand where we are going. Who is preventing who? And who is a watchdog? Who is policing who? Of course, the West are concerned about certain people or certain countries to have nuclear weapons. Iran is one of those countries that the West, you know, is concerned about. But the West have nuclear weapons. Against whom do they arm themselves with nuclear weapons? And now, we now get to now discussing, of course, don't forget that you can come through any time. The number in studio is 083-288-4001. You can come through if you want to be part of the conversation. My lines are working very well. My lines are working very well, so I don't have any issues. You can come through. The West are armed with nuclear weapons. And over the past 20 years or so, we have seen the development and improvement of nuclear arsenals on both sides, the West and Russia. They were busy advancing and improving their nuclear arsenals. So now the Israelis bombed Iran, and the United States also bombed Iran. And information is surfacing out that they did not destroy any nuclear facilities. They only destroyed buildings. Now the IAEA, which is being accused of facilitating the bombing of Iran, and is also being accused of being biased towards, you know, the West, that they are biased against Iran. The chief of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Mr. Rafael Grossi, he's saying Iran must give them access to the nuclear sites so that they check the safety and the, you know, the state of those nuclear sites. Iran is saying, nope, we are not allowing you anymore to come near our nuclear sites because you are an instrument of the West. And Russia comes out to say the West uses international organizations for their own benefit. And in fact, the American chief of intelligence said that Iran was not anywhere near production of any mass, or any weapon of mass destruction, or possession of any nuclear weapon. That was said by the U.S. intelligence chief. And the United Nations, even the Atomic, you know, Energy Agency itself said Iran was nowhere near possession of any weapon of mass destruction. That was some days before. I think it was four days to a week before the Karatagoma started. Now, 3 days after, the International Atomic Energy Agency changes their mind. They say, no, Iran's production of nuclear centrifuges are worrisome. You know, they started to be worried because they went under pressure. They went under pressure. They were under pressure by somebody. You know, and they were under pressure by somebody. And that's from somebody maybe gave them an under table hiding. Or, you know, behind the doors, or back door hiding to say, hey, tell us a different story. We don't want those things. We don't work with the truth here. In 1998, Iraq destroyed their short-range and medium-range ballistic missiles, and then they destroyed the chemical weapons. And Scott Ritter, who was a United Nations inspection officer, in fact verified that the Iraq had no weapon of mass destruction, had no chemical weapon. In fact, the chemical weapons that was in Iraq, it was the Americans that gave the Iraqis in 1980, when the Americans orchestrated a war between Iran and Iraq, which lasted for 8 years, between 1980 to 1988. Because the Americans were angry with the Iranian Revolution of 1979. I think that is what saw the Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, who is the current Ayatollah right now, you know, come to power. That is, of course, overthrew the Shah. One of the Shah's son, Prince Pahlavi, who is now in the United States, was calling for, you know, regime change and the liberation of Iran, because he thinks that he's the only one that can lead Iran, or he thinks that Iran belongs to his family. So, Scott said Iraq had no weapons or chemical weapons whatsoever. And he went to the point of even resigning, leaving his post, because he realized that he could not win. The people wanted war. The rest is history as far as Iraq is concerned. Now, we get to Iran. So, Rafael Grossi of the IAEA is saying, show us the sites. We want to know the state of the sites. You want to investigate. The Iranians are saying, nope. We don't want you anywhere near our facilities because you are an instrument of the West. You failed to convince the West that there were no nuclear weapons here being manufactured. Now, what Trump said happened did not happen. It did not happen. And now Iran has passed a law to prevent them from working with the IAEA. Because the IAEA cannot be trusted. And neither can the United Nations be trusted. Let alone the Americans. Because the Americans said they needed 2 weeks to decide what to do. But the 2 weeks and just ended up in 72 days and they bombed. So they can never be trusted as negotiations. As a negotiating partner. Now, it seems that Grossi or Rafael Grossi of the IAEA saying, look, Iran, we bombed and bombed and bombed. We bombed. But it seems we have destroyed nothing. Can you please show us where you have hidden those nucleus weapon or nuclear materials and equipment so that we can bomb, we can do a better job this time? This is what Grossi is saying. And as the Russian foreign ministry is putting it to say, look, these people are saying we have bombed and bombed and bombed, but we destroyed nothing. Please show us where you have hidden your nuclear equipments and materials so that we can come and do a better job. We didn't do a better job. Please show us where you have hidden those things. So, that is what we are getting. And the implication of all this is that Iran will now be forced to test a nuclear weapon. Iran will now be forced to test a nuclear weapon. But there is another hint from Dmitry Medvedev, who is a former Russian Prime Minister.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit Paratus.Africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
prepare, Paratus. My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right. So I think I got a bonus of, you know, short break. We continue. So this gives Iran now a reason why they should have nuclear weapons. Because remember, Libya also had nuclear weapons. And they were told, look, if you give up your nuclear weapons, you will be fine. We are going to lift up sanction. We are going to lift the sanctions. Your economy will be well. And then Gaddafi gives up nuclear weapons, and he was killed in the street of Tripoli, sodomized with bayonets by NATO forces, of course. Because NATO has been looking for Gaddafi for years. And they got him. So, and now Libya is, the word chaos is not even enough to just tell the state in which Libya is finding itself. Once a country that was once prosperous in Africa is now become the den of all confusion. Thanks to Obama and of course David Cameron and François Hollande. So, Iran now has reason to have nuclear weapons, because they now know that you need nuclear weapons to protect yourself. I think the Ayatollah will be told. The Ayatollah will now be told, or will now be convinced, to say, we need nuclear weapons. Because otherwise we are going to be destroyed. Because the regime change of Iran is Netanyahu's plan. In his 1996 book, he outlined 7 countries that need to fall for the total safety of Israel. So, and Iran is one of those countries. Sudan is one of those countries. Somalia is one of those countries. Syria is one of those countries. Lebanon is one of those countries. Yemen is one of those countries. And Iraq. And as we speak, Netanyahu has achieved 99% of his goal. Iraq is fallen. Syria is in shambles. Lebanon, we cannot even tell you whether it is coming or going. Yemen is in chaos. Sudan is in a mess. Somalia, we don't even know where it is. The only country that is standing is Iran. And Netanyahu wanted to try this time. He said they are not going to stop until they achieve victory. That is the word Netanyahu said at the beginning, 24 hours in the bombing campaign. We are not going to stop, because Netanyahu thought he was going to get rid of the Iranian leadership in hours. And when Trump came to suggest to say, let's have peace, Netanyahu was quick to agree. Because Tel Aviv was in fire such as they have never seen since Israel became a state. And Netanyahu could not afford further damages. And in fact, that damage was also embarrassing the United States, because their Patriot and THAAD systems were installed there, but they failed miserably. Not even to talk about the Iron Dome and the David Sling. So, peace was achievable immediately. And we are no longer hearing any escalation whatsoever. And even the rhetoric is down now. Because Israel has understood that Iran is not Lebanon or Syria. So Israel at least understood that Iran is not Gaza. Now, the country that is busy, the country that is threatening, who is threatening who in the Middle East? Most of us will say, well, Israel is the one is threatening everyone. Well, which is true, but it's not fully true. The issue between Israel and these countries is Judeo-Islamic, is both Judeo-Islamic political and religious insanity. That is what is fueling most tensions in the Middle East between Israel and the Arab countries. Because if you look at it very well, Israel is threatening the Arab countries. Israel is not threatening Ethiopia or threatening South Africa or any other country. Israel is looking for Arab countries. And Israel's goal is to make sure that Arab countries are hit hard to the point that they are not armable enough to threaten Israel. And this has been the goal of Israel since 1948. And in fact, it has been the goal of the Islamic world since 1948 to make sure that Israel is also hit hard to the point that they cease to exist. So this is a religious political insanity between Israel and the Islamic world. They are the ones that know what they have done to each other. So, and of course the Israelis are called the Zionist regime that is in Israel. Well, don't forget that there are texts in the Quran that suggest non-believers must be killed. So if you read the surahs of the chapter 2 of the Quranic surah, I think it's chapter 7, chapter 8, you will find a lot of those verses. And in fact, whoever is not a Muslim is called a kafir. And that is in fact, that led to the birth of Pakistan, because Pakistan was part of India. So, and it led to the birth of Pakistan because the Hindus and the Muslims could not agree. The Islamic world looked at the Hindus as lower class people. And the Hindus said, no, we are not going to dance to that demand. And there was violence. And also that led to the breakaway of another part of Pakistan, Bangladesh, in 1973. Pakistan was born in 1947. Bangladesh was born in 1973 because they could not agree on principles. And of course, language and religion. So what is happening in Israel, I mean between Israel, Iran and all those countries, that is both religious and political insanity. And it is a survival of the fittest. Whoever is strong will emerge victorious because this war will never end. Most of us are tempted to even be pro or anti this. But we shouldn't be pro-Israel and anti-Islamic world or vice versa. I think we need to be pro-facts. Let's look at the facts on the ground without taking sides. We will find out that both Israel and the world and the Arab world are in the wrong. And nobody is more wrong than the other. Because in fact, to kill the Jews in the Islamic world is more real than the Malema song of kill the Boer, shoot the Boer. That kill the Boer, shoot the Boer. It's even more fake compared to what an Islamic person thinks about a Jewish person. So, and that is Quranic, or that is Islamic. And both the Jews and the Arabs, they look at a black person as an animal. You know, they both Jews and Jews and Arabs have one thing in common. They look at a black person as an animal. Now, most of us are condemning what Israel is doing. Of course, it's good. But do we know what is happening to black people in Morocco? In Mauritania? In Seychelles? In Comoros? on those countries where you have the Arab population that is, you know, the majority. And in fact, let's not even go far. Let's just go to Sudan. Why do we have South Sudan today? It's because of the black Arab situation. When Arabs look at a black people, at the black person as a kafir, as a non-human. And in fact, an Arab person has a right to do whatever he wants to that black person. And in 2011, around there, Yoweri Museveni and Paul Kagame, one of those leaders, Yoweri Museveni and Paul Kagame were among those leaders that went to Omar al-Bashir. And they tell him, look, this thing that you want to create an Islamic Republic in Sudan, it will not work. You have the majority of people that are black in South Sudan, for example, which is South Sudan today, Juba, Darfur. So, and they told him, look, for you to have peace, you need to be secular and allow everyone to practice their religion and what they believe freely, without you as a government imposing it on them. And then they told him, so look, you choose between secularism and keep the other part of the country, or you go Islamic and lose the other part of the country. Omar al-Bashir chose the latter. You know, he chose to go Islamic. And he lost the other part of the country. Now, when you look at Sudan, South Sudan is now relatively peaceful and calmer than Khartoum. Now you have another factions that are fighting. They will always continue to fight because in Islam, there is a Salafism. Is it Salafism? Yeah, I think. Salafism. Or Salafism. Yes. So the Salafi part of, you know, Islam believe that they are more Islamic than the others. And that they are the ones that understand the Quranic text better than the others. And the hatred between Iran and Saudi Arabia is based on the Shiite and Sunni religious, doctrinal, and dogmatic misconception. So these dogmatic misconceptions are the ones that have divided. So when you look at the Israeli Arab situation, don't look at it from a political point of view, because you are going to be mistaken. You are going to take a side wrongly, and you are going to crucify the other side wrongly. These people, the Arabs, it's embedded in them, you know, to go after the Jews. And the Jews, the political Jews, it's embedded in them to go after the Arabs. So it's a survival of the fittest between the two, and there is nothing you can do. You just need to watch things unfold. Because Israel will say they are fighting for their existence. And the Arab world will also say, look, we are also fighting for our existence. And it is true on both sides. They are fighting for their existence because whoever becomes weak between them will bear the consequences of being weak. Netanyahu wanted these countries to be down, defeated completely to ashes. And these countries want Israel to burn to ashes. So Israel want Iraq, Iran, Lebanon, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Somalia. In fact, even Libya and Egypt to a certain extent, if Egypt chooses any other path. In fact, Israel wants the entire Arab world to burn to ashes. Because there is no one threatening Israel beyond the Arab world. No country is threatening Israel beyond the Arab world. So, and the Arab wants wherever there is a smell of a Jewish person, that Jewish person must pay a price. So this is in their medulla oblongata, in the medulla oblongata of a Jew, and it is in the medulla oblongata of an Arab to see to it that they destroy one another. But if we look at the biblical history, the Arab never, there was no war between Arabs and the Jews. There was no war between the Arabians and the Jews, because the Arabians, in fact, were, you know, they were just merchandisers. They were just merchandisers. They were traders. They really didn't really have anything to do with any conquering of any land. That's the biblical history of the Arabs. They were very peaceful people. And in fact, they coexisted with the Jews for hundreds and if not thousands of years. The hatred only came with Islam. In the 600s, towards the 700s, that's when we saw the turn of events changing. And do not forget that when we talk about Islam, we can never talk about the history of Islam without talking about the Roman Catholic Church. Let me not go there. But, so, Iran now has reason to create a nuclear weapon. Because now they see that indeed, they can be under threat, that any country can just come and play with them. I mean, Iran was totally, the Iranian air defense system was totally messed up, totally kaput. There was no air defense left. And the Israelis were flying in the Iranian airspace with impunity. Because they totally annihilated every air defense system. This brings me to the next point. Iran was offered a deal with Russia. I mean, a deal by Russia. For Russia to improve their air defense system and just integrate it very well. Because if Iran is secured, that will also give Russia security at their southern flank. So that's why Russia was looking for a deal with Iran to integrate their air defense systems. Unfortunately, the Iranians did not take the offer. And whatever happened, happened. Because they had the old S-300, the old Soviet S-300. Well, they work, but they are not effective against the F-16s and the F-35s. Because The F-16 and F-35 is a stealth aircraft. So you need an integrated stealth, you know, anti-aircraft systems that are able to intercept aircraft at a long range and shoot them down. So Iran didn't have that. And that's why they were hit hard by Israel.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning, Tata France.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Fine, thank you. So thank you for the informative presentation. And I would like to make some comments, my opinions on those, on what you have said, though not more, because I do not have a understanding and insight to really say all what you said from the beginning. Yeah, my concern is about the finding, the atomic agents, what is it? Atomic energy agents or whatever. And that we all know, like you said, it's true, there were instruments used by some powers, some West. And what I want is now that it's true, they have been doing that, even in Iraq and wherever they went. All their interest is the resources, exploitation of the resources, and not even in the benefit of the indigenous people of this country. And that has also proven from the history, actually. We all know how Africa ended up being colonized. And eventually, subsequently, you have the apartheid system, and everywhere they went. So now, it's true, maybe I thought Trump was really concerned with peace, which is also now demonstrating again after he has ordered the attack of Iran. And all what they were doing is actually just to, you know, to deceive the world that they are there. If they could develop theirs in 1967, what did you say, 1967? And Iran came later on, and you ask a question, why did they develop, and why are they developing their nuclear weapons or whatever they are developing for mass destruction? Against who? Against who? Now, and those things are actually targeted to the people, the innocent people. And now Gaza is being destroyed. All these other countries are being destroyed. And people are dying. I know Israel, the one that we had in the Bible, is not this one, because this one is a fake one. So I think that the distinction also needs to be made. So that as we see, praise Israel and all these things, we are not praising this barbaric ones. So we are actually praising Israel, the one, the original one in the Bible. So the other thing is that now they have actually learned a lesson from Iran. They have really learned a lesson. I think I read at one point some weeks ago where Trump, when they surrendered, because they really surrendered. And this is what we normally do. And it just happened like the way this Kuto Kanavare pronounced itself. That's exactly what happened. So even though the Kuto Kanavare was more atrocity because they were captured, and they had to negotiate. So with this one, which is also similar, because it's of the war, so it is not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. I don't know which kind of voice. You know already that the one that you say they went there now is trying to say, come, come. When they go there, they are actually spying. for their own master, and they, at the end of the day, we are destroyed. We know that we are no, don't have much of this kind of weapon. Why? It's because of them that we could not develop our own thing. We had our own indigenous development system. We destroyed. So, you know, the university in Africa and all the education pre and after, you know, this independence and colonialism. So, Frank, thank you very much for those informative and good lessons that you are giving unto us. Maybe at one point you also need to really emphasize about the issue of Israel, the issue of Syria. I think God he could also surrender, and people couldn't believe that perhaps. Please, God is not always on the side when you become so, trying to be so wicked. How can really God give you the grace and the wisdom and all these other things to really penetrate in these things? That's not how God works. God is a God, justice God. Natural law that you say you mentioned, it that people don't adhere to that. So thank you very much, Franz, for your insightful presentation.
Thank you very much.
Good.
All right. 083-238-401. That's the number in studio. So, you know, the there's a lot of hypocrisy among, you know, certain countries wanting to prevent others from having what they have, and others from threatening them when they are threatening others. So that's a hypocrisy, kind of double standard. And it is the double standard that was also exposed even among, you know, international bodies like the United Nations and the international, excuse me, the International Atomic Energy Agency. So, and now they are asking Iran to say, look, show us where you have hidden those things. Because it's like they are saying we have bombed and bombed and bombed, but we did not destroy anything. So please show us where you have hidden so that we can come and do a better job. That is what is, that is what I'm understanding. So, if you want to be part of the conversation, like I said, it is, the number is 083-238-401. So, and we will continue.
Give me your attention, Kulombwe Lord. just wake up, you will succeed. Yang weta picho furo nene takaro. Just wake up, you will succeed.
Right. We continue. So if we judge the history using politics alone, politics will throw us out because politics will force us to have sides. Politics will force us to have sides. Even the most qualified political scientists, they are biased. You know, even those who are studying laws, those who have master's degree in law and in justice, in fact, even in criminology, they themselves can find themselves, the other side of the law. So we can just only be safe if we judge issues by their merits. And if we judge using historical facts. And like I said, the Israeli-Arab issue is a medulla oblongata issue. It's no more a political issue anymore. It has become a religious medulla oblongata issue. It's a mentality. It is a mentality that both have. And they want to make sure the other is destroyed. That is what they want. So, and if you look at you see the Arab world has a lot of military organizations. Compared to the non-Arab world, for example. Because just like in the Christian world, you have a lot of churches. You know, in the Christian world, you have a lot of churches. But in an Arab world, you have a lot of military organizations. Every organization is formed thinking that they are the ones that are keeping the law, the Islamic law, well more than the others, and they want to make sure that their way of, interpretation of the law is advanced in a country. So, That is a world we live in. This is a world we live in. Twenty-eight minutes to the hour of 1 o'clock. We are still here. And we are talking about what did not happen. So, the Americans and the Israelis did not achieve anything. They only achieved the total awakening of the Iranian government and Iran as a country. One thing that will surprise you is that a lot of people in Iran are hoping for a regime change. And that is what Israel was counting on. But Israel did not realize that regime change done by Israel is considered to be an attack on Iran. And even an Iranian citizen who was an anti-government before will have the reason to rally behind their government because a foreign entity is attacking them. That's how they interpreted the situation. And therefore, Netanyahu did not achieve his goal. If it was an internal issue, a certain group, like the mass protest that took place in, I think it was in 2023, of police brutality, that took place in, there was an Iranian, you know, was it in 2023? That one would have succeeded enough to have brought about a regime change. But Iran is a different civilization. And to topple the leadership there is very difficult. And Persia itself as a tribe or as a civilization is far older than Israel itself. And some people even estimate that Iran is 5,800 years, you know, old. The Chinese have a history of 3,000 years. The Jews have a history of 4,000 years. And of course, the Arab has a history of 3,500 years. That's civilization. So, and most countries now that at least have the capacity would start thinking twice. They will start to think that it is necessary for them to have nuclear weapons. Because of what happened in Iran. Of course, countries like North Korea will opt to increase their nuclear stockpile, and also Pakistan will also opt to increase their nuclear stockpile. So, and this is now leading to the world on a global nuclear arms race. So this kind of conflict has exposed a lot of, you know, things. Double standards, weakness from on both sides, and resilience, and so on and so forth. So, but at least there was a truce an achievement of peace. At least that is what we can count on. Because given the escalation, anyone would have miscalculated. Anybody would have miscalculated, which would have led to, you know, serious consequences. At least we can say there was peace achieved. And of course, it's Trump that they said with the assistance of Qatar that also reached, came to say, let's stop the fighting. And also the Russians with their diplomatic voice that was very loud. And of course, the Chinese, they also had a very loud diplomatic voice condemning and calling for the cessation of hostilities. Twenty-one minutes to one. That's the time here. And if you are there and you want to give your comment, maybe there's something that I did not say that you think should be said. You can come through. And the number in studio is 083-288-401. Then we will have a conversation. Otherwise, of course, today is Sunday. I'm at least allowed to play music. So I would also enjoy music here and there.
Dunia ni awa,
we continue, and we are almost towards the end of our program, and we are looking at what did not happen. And we are looking at the statement of Rafael Grossi. He's still now insisting that the Iranians allow him to go to, and his team to go and see. He's concerned about, apparently, about the radiation. So he wants the Iranians to allow him to go and investigate. And the Iranians are saying, nope, we are no longer going to allow you to investigate our facilities. In fact, we are pulling out of working with you. We don't trust you. You are not a fair watch, international watchdog. You knew there is no enrichment to that level, and you failed to convince the Americans and the West, or and Israel, you know, you want, and in fact, the International Atomic Energy Agency did not even condemn the bombing. So, and the United Nations are also, the United Nations as an international body, that is also being, you know, implicated here, that they are used by, you know, Western countries to do so that the Western countries can go away with things. You know, they can just go away with things without, with impunity. That is the worry, some trend in the world. I'm sure the Iranians must be regretting having signed the nuclear non-proliferation. Huh? You know this word. This word kicks me. My tongue goes frozen. Non-proliferation. Yes. So it is nuclear non-proliferation treaty. The Israel is not even a signatory of that, but wants to lecture Iran from not having a nuclear weapons or a nuclear weapon system, which they have. So this is a type of hypocrisy where Israel's security is more important than anybody else's. Well, it's the same in the Arab world, though, because the Arab thinks they are important than others. So that's why I'm saying the fight between Israel and the Arab world, it's a medulla oblongata issue. It is only them that can stop fighting, that can come to their senses and say, look, we are, it's only the Arabs and the Israelis who can solve this problem. Because they're the ones that know what they are fighting for. And as Namibia or in Africa here, I think we need to look at what is happening and just weigh it against our pocket and find mechanisms on how we can survive. Otherwise, if we want to come up, to come out and be saints, thinking that we can take sides, well, good luck on that. But that will not solve a problem. You know, if we come and you say we can take sides between Arabs and Israelis, we are making a very big mistake. Because this is an Arab-Israeli mentality, of which is there, of which they are the only one that are able to stop. If not, we are seeing problems. We are seeing problems. And it will and the problems will continue. Because among the Israelis, or between Arabs and the Israelis, no one is more important than the other. And in fact, no one is more wrong than the other. To a certain extent, they are all wrong. To a certain extent, they are all correct. Because Israel is fighting for their security, for their existence, which any country has a right to do. And in fact, the Arabs are also fighting for their existence and for their security, which every country has a right to do. Israel is after Arabs to make sure that they are destroyed completely to ashes. And the Arabs are after the Israel to make sure that Israel is destroyed to ashes. And that is their mentality. And to say Israel is against everyone, it's not true. Israel is not threatening Zambia. Israel is not threatening Botswana. Israel is not threatening Malawi or SADC. Israel is threatening the Arabs. And the Arabs are threatening the Israelis. That's their war. And it started a long time ago. The Israelis that we see today are descendants. Whether they are near or far descendants, they are descendants of the Israel, of the Israelites. And historically, that land was their land. And they fled that land. And it was occupied by anyone else. And that anyone else came to be occupied by the caliphate, which ended up, you know, being the Ottoman Empire. And in 1948, they wanted to come back to their ancestral land. So that is the ancestral land of the Jews. No one can deny that. You know, Gaza is not an ancestral land of the Arabs. No. Now, when we look at history, Gaza does not belong to the Arabs. In fact, Gaza was called Samaria. And Samaria was not a kingdom of the Arabs. All these cities of Ashdod, Ashkelon, those were cities of the Philistines. And Philistines are not Arabs. The Philistines were from Kaftar. So, they are the ones that occupy that land. And before the Philistines, of course, that land was occupied by the Jebusites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the whatever. That is now 4,000 years ago. So when you talk about ancestry, that's what we can say. In fact, if the Jebusites were alive, were still existing, and the Amorites would also say, look, we are coming to our land. This has been our land. We were driven out of this land. It's our land. So come back, and the Canaanites will come back and say, this is our land. It's Canaan. We were driven out. It's our land. Right. So, having said that, we have come to an end of our program, and let's meet again next Sunday. From me, it's a goodbye, and of course, stay tuned, continue to listen to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station.
Pandura tate Franza wetu pembako ku Jacobe Nduka paifori likondangwa ke kangora nshuna kondangwa shini meshimvura no la fikira ngane moma kana Rwanda o engane likwete na no, paife nga ai o engane ndilikwete ame mwene o natupandura avisha vakara vakufumbinga na avo vakara tavendere kwa mwene porokara madetu Otungole, no ina njapona ndo pomoli, aloshe. Atukala tuwa panduru nene, maasho tantupemo, naasho tuli atumpemo. Oigire fema, yoshuwana nushuwanosho igire fema, no nande aloshe. Ai, taihongo, taipukulula, no atukala aloshe kucha. Igire fema, ai, ina japopu yeri. Shiwana arushe tindire igere fema. Akarenga. Eliopweli. Na maneno tulimo programa yetu omo eri. Hano mafiku eri mirongo mbaino woi. Ya omwedi. Ontia mano. 2025. Fikuro sondaha. Hano. Ono programa yetu. Oyo nga neto minanayo, oyo atukalune na atutaleke, ngurunge dide tukenjo kono na noko misuru wakalo, noko makwata fano po katiko vanuno vanu, nuna mwaino, nuna mwaina. Napo ifenga ha, oyo tu atutalene na, no, tupopife manga aleli vetu wapa nsuru wakalo, atupopifa aleli vetu wapa endo dwadishe, shi atupopifa vali, valeli vetu wapa pangelo. Ndiote kucha, mpola keni, onye atu Atu mwetele programa di, alushe onye tuatala, onye shiwana shetu, shiwana shuolike, o shiwano shu igerefema, no igerefema yo shiwana. Ay, no medie poke, yakala inkwete, hivudi tengave lino tate ankaro mbana, shingone, shimate shidongu shana wanawa, nota popingane kesho shu shiripo. Ndiwete kucha, ini maishei, ay, Ni maiwa, na hatu tingosho na tukaleni, halushe, ngetulia nime porokala madetu diri ngaha. Hatu wangafane nire lalela, na washe tanga anuwakaleve nukumu, anuwakaleva kumikwa, na anuwakale, haivu ditenga kuchoshiketa shiningwa. Hano, ndiwete kucha, o, osho, shinimashuwa nengon madishi. Ya, o ndiwate kuchane na tukatala keto poko, lo mazimo, ne kwa tafano po katika mwaina no mwaina, talende talikana po. Moruwa mtu, ashiketa shetifa. Nonena watu kakalamu na tatea mtenya, paulusa, ya idula ya njanima. Ya tukakala na enina mu studio. No, oe taka kalafi mbaino ngodi. Oe, teke tupamo, mshitenga, no kutara kucha. Tate pao, ushetu tetero shiki. Ae, natutareko mwane kangovela, shetu ye, tukata mekeno kukwata fana na ikucha. Hano, oshiki osho tashetu mato poko.